The thing that I most often ask is, how did you do it as a mom? How did you exist? How did you survive? And I tell them I cried a lot. I'd like to tell you about the times that I spent the night by my bed in tears, laying on the floor crying. Sounds real spiritual, and I did that. I could tell you about the other times that I'm proud of, that I marched around the yard in the middle of the night, around the house, with the baby monitor outside so I could hear Natalie if she quit breathing. Didn't worry about her quitting screaming, or worried about her if she quit breathing. But I could tell you about the nights that I marched around, hands in the air. The people in Grand Prairie will never get over the people that lived in that house, because for some reason, someone screamed in that house 20 of 24 hours a day. And then when she wasn't screaming, there was this crazy woman out in the yard all hours of the night and the morning, waving her hands and talking and screaming and praising the Lord. And I'd like to tell you about my godly, godly grandmother, a saint, about my godly parents that I know that years before I faced this trial, they had prayed for me that I would have strength and wisdom when I faced my trials in life. Then I could tell you about the nights that I walked around the yard and I stomped my foot. I didn't march around the house those nights. I stomped around. I didn't raise my hands in praise. I raised them saying, God, why? God, you promised. You see, years before, God had given me promises for my children out of Isaiah. One of them said, great shall be the peace of your children. One of them said, my words which I've put in your mouth will not depart out of the mouth of your children nor your children's children. And the third one that he'd given me during that period of time of fasting and prayer for my children, he said, all those that see them, your children, shall say that they are blessed of the Lord. Now, ladies, I can tell you about a lot of nights that I questioned God on those promises. I said, God, people will not even come to our house to see her. It is so distressful. If they do come, they say, she's demonic. We were actually told that. We were told that she didn't have enough faith, that she had sinned. But we certainly weren't told she's blessed. And I would say, God, how is it that you promised that your words would not depart out of her mouth? God, she doesn't even have words in her mouth. She has groanings and wailings and screamings. God, where's the word that you promised that would be in her mouth? And I would say, God, where's the peace that you promised? This child that was raised in the nurture and the admonition of you, this child who was taught scripture from day one, when she was 5 years old, she would kneel at the altar and pray with the adults, and people loved to pray with her. She had a heart for God. And I would say, God, where's the peace that you promised? There is no peace. But when Natalie said that she'd forgotten everything but remembered the words of God, that's an absolute fact. When she came out of 3 years of having lost, we thought, lost her mind. We thought God had lost it. He actually knew where he'd put it, but we questioned that. But she couldn't remember family. She didn't know. She had not fed herself for 3 years. She didn't know how to do anything. But when she opened her mouth, the words the chapters that she had memorized before the time that she got so bad, and some after she began to get so bad, would come out verbatim. I mean, not a word was out of place. My husband and I would look at each other and we'd say, that's what sustained her. Everybody told us, you don't go that deep mentally and come back. Doctors told us, put her in an institution and get on with your life. That's quite a statement for doctors to make to parents. We said, no, that's not what God said. And you know, if she were still sick, we would still be saying, our God is faithful. Do you remember what the three Hebrew children said? Our God will save us, but if he doesn't, we'll praise him. Then I can tell you about the times in between. There were the times when I did. I was strong in my faith. There were the times when I wept on my husband's, on Natalie's dad's shoulder, and cried and called him crying. Because you see, he was living in Nacogdoches and I was in Dallas with her. And then we would swap. A lot of times he would come up on the weekends and I would go home to take care of my aging parents. Those are the two extremes, the times I've faithed and the times I've fainted in my faith. Then there were the times in between when I existed. There was a time that I had run to the grocery store and I had a beeper on and they beat me, and I knew that always meant emergency, get home. Natalie's house was up a steep incline. I ran home up the driveway, jumped out of the car, ran in the house, got things kind of settled down. Went back out to the car, was going back to the grocery store and get my buggy of groceries that I'd left sitting, and the car wasn't in the garage. And I looked around, and it had gone down the driveway and across the street and dead-centered a tree in the neighbor's yard. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Now, you think I'm crazy? No, because about 6 inches from that tree was a motorhome. I was very thankful that car hit that tree. There was another time when I went to back out of the garage. Had some very stressful days, as you can imagine. Forgot to raise the garage door. Thought about it about halfway out. there was another time when I had run out to get something out of the back seat of the car. Forgot to close the door. Got in behind the steering wheel and backed out. And, of course, the side of the garage door just caught that door and around and smacked it next to the front door. Well, okay, the back seat only had one door and the front seat had three doors, right? It's okay. I got in the car. I drove down about 3 blocks to a school, and I got out and wasn't quite as large as I am now. And you could see the picture. I didn't have the gray hair either. Natalie did it. But anyway, I wedged in between the second and the third front door, you know, the front seat. And I wedged in this way so I could push, and all of a sudden it went pow, and it closed. It never opened again, but at least the back seat had two doors. It was a wonderful little Toyota. Had been through a hailstorm, actually looked like a little gray golf ball going down the street. Then one day they called me late one night. They were having to take my mom to the nursing home or to the emergency room at the hospital. She had been very ill. I had been going home weekends and cooking and cleaning house and paying mom and dad's bills and things like that. And Neil would come up and stay with Natalie, and then I would go back home. I mean, come back to Dallas. I never really knew where home was. But anyway, I was one place or the other. And they called me, so I set the timer on the oven. That's about as long as I ever slept. And I set the timer on the oven for about 45 minutes. And when that went off, I got up, got in the car, because I told them, I will be at the hospital before daybreak. And I made it all the way to where there is a Y just outside of Nacogdoches. I don't ever remember taking that Y. I don't ever remember getting on Highway 259. All I remember is waking up, and I was in the little gray bomb, and I was going like this,
Well, I looked, and there was a huge embankment here. And I looked over here, and there was just a wall of trees. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I've got to stop this thing. If I turn that way, I'm going into those trees. And all of a sudden, that little car just picked up, turned around, and sat down. If it had gone 3 more feet forward, it would have hit a concrete block thing, some kind of telephone building or something. I don't know. So I kind of looked around and sized up the situation. Now, we didn't have insurance, so pretty well everything we were doing with Natalie was cash, you know, beg, borrow from the family, those kind of things. Banks had already quit loaning. So I thought, huh, can't call a wrecker. We can do this, can't we? Put it in reverse and started gassing it. So I'm going up about this, I don't know, 16-foot embankment backwards. And I get up to the highway, and there are cars and trucks and highway patrolmen everywhere. Seems how I had gone to sleep and run off the road, but almost ran into a lot of cars, ran up under an 18-wheeler, just barely locked, barely, they said, miss locking under it. And so I pulled over, and, I mean, everybody's looking at me, and I get out, and this woman who was another pastor's wife in Nacogdoches, who I knew, said, oh, my gosh, honey, I told my son that woman is drunk, and here she comes again. And then the highway patrolman came up, and he's looking at the car, and, you know, he's going to ride it up, and I'm going, please, please don't give me a ticket on this. And he goes, but, honey, we have to write, but, ma'am, we have to write this up if you have over $400 worth of damage. I go, but I don't. I mean, it's still running. It backed up out of the ditch. And he's going, but the back fender. I go, oh, no, that's when I forgot to put it in park, and it ran down the hill and hit a tree. And then he goes, but this back door. And I said, oh, no, that's the time I backed out of the garage with the door open. And then he goes, okay, and what about this? And I go, oh, that's the time I forgot to raise the garage door. By that time, he said, ma'am, do you have anyone you can call? I said, yes, I have a son. And I called my son at work. And I said, can you come get me? That was a reverse situation, wasn't it? Natalie and I were reading a few things last night about, just real quick, I thought this was hilarious. When I get old, I'm going to live with my kids, and these are the things I'm going to do. And I said, when I get old, I'm going to live with Ed. That's our oldest one. And I'm going to walk around tagging onto his britches, and when he goes into the bathroom, I'm going to stand outside the door and cry. And I said, then when I get old, I'm going to go live with Weston. That's our second son, who's pastoring in Denver. And I said, I'm going to sneak the car keys. And when he's not looking, I'm going somewhere. And, and when he says, Mom, you can't drive after dark, I'm just going to wait till he goes to bed, go to sleep, and show him. And then I go, what am I going to do with you, Natalie? And she said, just sit in there in the chair and say, somebody help me. So we've got our future all planned out. But I do want to tell you, God's faithful. And he loves you. And whatever problem you have, it is God designed just for your life. Nothing reaches you. I love this. K. Arthur says, nothing reaches you that is not first filtered through the fingers of God's love. And I want to know, want you to know, if he's got a problem that fits you, he's got a solving way or an answer for that problem. The best thing's just getting in his word and let him tell you what he has planned for your life, what his answer is that problem, or at least he'll let you know that he's there and he'll be there when that problem's gone. Thank you.